Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. This is the time of year when many of us could use a little extra scratch in our pocket to make the holidays a little happier. But if you go looking for that extra money at a friendly neighborhood payday lender, then expect to pay a lot of money for the money that you borrow. It's not new to pass on to our listeners that payday loan shops charge extra high fees and interest to take out those loans. 10 months ago, the city of San Antonio passed an ordinance to rein in some of the practices of the payday loan shops that many say exploit the poor for profit. But there are some payday loan shops in town that are refusing to follow the new rules of the city. And to tell us more about that, we have Patrick Danner, reporter for the San Antonio Express News. Welcome to The Source, Patrick.
Thank you, David.
All right, so Patrick, let me ask you, what's happening here? We got the new rules, and not all of them are – who's not following, or what's going on there?
Well, what happened before the ordinance went into effect on January 1st, some payday lenders filed a lawsuit against the city challenging the ordinance. And in essence, what they are alleging is that the city's ordinance interferes with a statewide license granted to each of the companies. So in effect, they contend that the ordinance doesn't apply to them, so they're not going to follow it.
San Antonio is not the only city in Texas to have passed a payday lender ordinance. We've seen them in Dallas and El Paso, Austin, and now yesterday, Houston announced that they would also be pursuing a payday lender ordinance. So there is some evidence that cities believe that this is that they're doing the city's business here.
Well, I had asked the Office of the Consumer Credit Commissioner about these local ordinances and whether they interfere with the state's laws, and the response that I got was that they didn't want to comment on it because of the litigation.
So our phone lines are open, and listeners, if you want to weigh in on this, do you think the city of San Antonio is stepping outside of the boundaries by trying to regulate payday lenders? We're seeing that Austin, they could not do it in the last legislative session. Should we just have the Wild West in Texas with payday lenders being able to do whatever they want? Give us a call, 614-8980, 614-8980. Also, very interested if you've had a payday lending experience, how that worked out for you, if you felt like you were being taken advantage of, or if you were actually paying a fair price for a service that really did you some good. Want to hear from you, 614-8980. So, Patrick, from the Express News, tell us what the ordinance that San Antonio passed, what does that ordinance require of these payday lenders?
Well, I'll just hit the highlights, but in essence, it requires these businesses to register with the city and pay a $50 application fee. And the ordinance limits cash advances to no more than 20% of the borrower's gross monthly income. As far as auto title loans, they are limited to either 3% of a borrower's income or 70% of a vehicle's value, whichever is lower.
And wasn't there, I know that when we had Diego Bernal on here, and he was the councilman who was pushing this at the time, he wanted to have some sort of limitation on how many times you could roll over a loan, or is that what it was? I don't know if that was actually part of the final ordinance or not. But the concern was is that once you get in on a loan, you take out $1,000 or $500 and you can't pay it over, and it rolls over and rolls over. And those interest payments, they just accumulate. And pretty soon you owe multiple times what you actually borrowed.
Right. And it's really more the fees than the interest rate, because the interest rate is limited to 10%. But these are credit service organizations. They're able to, they've in essence found, I guess what some would say is a loophole in the law that allows them to charge fees that amount to the equivalent of up to 500% annual interest.
We're going to go to the phones. Our number is 614-8980, and Andrew is on the line. Andrew, welcome to The Source. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks. So I was just wondering, earlier you were talking about how the lending companies feel like the city ordinances don't apply to them because there's state laws governing this kind of lending. But, like, I was wondering, there are other things like alcohol laws that a city or a county could do something that makes a different set of laws than a state. So, like, why is this not a circumstance for this type of lending?
Okay, Andrew, good question. Let's see if Patrick Danner for the Express News can answer that. It's a good question because, you know, the state has laws and the cities have ordinances. And if they're saying the city doesn't have the power to put this ordinance in, what about all the other ordinances?
Well, the lawyer for the payday lenders told me that it would be – he likened it to if the interstate, the speed limit is 65 miles per hour and San Antonio decided – well, within our city limits, we're going to set the speed limit at 30. It just wouldn't work. So that's his comeback.
But you just, okay, that's, you know, I know cities do set speed limits at also, but this is not a conversation about speed limits. He's using that as an analogy, but still, or as a metaphor, but I don't get it. So the city put these rules in, trying to not shut them down, but somehow make the payday lenders a little more, make their practice a little more, less predatory, they say. But we know that there were a few of them, few of the shops that just are not paying attention. They were not even registering, right?
Right, and their lawyer has been forthcoming about that. He said that they're doing it openly and notoriously.
Notoriously, that's a strange choice of words.
Well, I think he means, you know, that they're not hiding it, is what he's trying to say there.
Right. So they don't want to even acknowledge that the rules should even be acknowledged. They don't want to pay the $50 and sign up because they think this whole – if they do that, then they're recognizing that the rules have some merit.
Well, I think that this is their way of challenging the ordinance, and they're doing it through this lawsuit.
So now the city of San Antonio is their bluff is being called apparently by these payday lending shops, and so how do they fight back?
How does the city fight back?
Yeah, what do they do?
Well, I spoke to the city attorney, and he said that they've got an open investigation. They're aware that these companies and have not been abiding by the new ordinance, and according to the finance department, there are 16. Payday lenders who have not registered with the city. On the other hand, there are 216 that have registered. And again, the city attorney says that they are investigating this and that they intend to take appropriate measures, is how he put it to me.
But there are fines. They're being levied fines.
They haven't been levied anything.
Well, no. I mean, but is
they face the potential of being hit with fines.
So supposedly, if you don't comply with the new ordinance, then you would be facing a $500 per day per offense fine.
Up to $500 per day per offense.
And so if this lawsuit doesn't go the way of the payday lenders, then they would have to, I guess, pay those fines.
Well,
that could be a lot of money.
It could be, but it's not clear as to whether they would be subject to retroactive fines or whether it would take effect once, you know, they know that they're going to have to pay the fine.
Once it works through its way through the courts. Sure. Okay, well, we're going to continue the conversation. We want to hear from our listeners. If you've got some questions about the payday lending industry that's happening here in San Antonio and San Antonio's efforts to try and rein in those practices, give us a call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. We will be right back after this. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The city of San Antonio in September of 2012 passed an ordinance to protect its citizens against predatory and abusive lending practices. However, some of the payday lender shops say they don't recognize the city of San Antonio's authority to pass that ordinance and to enforce that ordinance. San Antonio, along with other cities in Texas, have put ordinances like this into effect, like El Paso, Austin, Dallas. Yesterday, Houston said they were also going to pursue an ordinance because they feel like the state of Texas hasn't done a very good job of trying to control these payday lending outfits. And these payday lending outfits pay a lot of money for lobbyists to make sure that the laws that are on the books favor their industry. With me in the studio to talk about that is Patrick Danner, reporter for the San Antonio Express News. He's been following this. So So, Patrick, I'll tell you what, we got some phone calls. Let's get to the phones. Number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Cheryl is on the line. Cheryl, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm a lawyer. I haven't worked on this kind of case against the city for 30 years, but I can give you clarify a couple of points you were talking about. The open and notorious, you said it was interesting to use the word notorious. That's because it's an ancient, the whole thing, open and notorious.
I know. I was just joking around.
Okay. But I don't think anybody listening might have understood. It's a common law term that has a specific meaning, and it's probably in the statute. And then it sounded like you weren't really getting a very clear argument from the lender's lawyer. And I think what he was trying to get at, not very well with the speed limit thing, is that the state makes the laws, the city's a division of the state. Legally, it's a smaller portion of a civil organization based on the state that exists because the state allows it to, which is what incorporation as a city is. And their basic argument is the state sets the law, the city doesn't have the right to set a different law, and private organizations, private companies shouldn't have to comply with 150 different municipal laws. They should just be able to rely on one law from the state. I'm sure that's what they're arguing.
Also, during the last legislative session, Cheryl, the legislature did debate, tried to pass a law which would have taken away the authority for states to pass such ordinances. That didn't go anywhere, but it's interesting that they felt that they had to do that. If they didn't feel like they needed to, then why would they have tried to do that?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's admirable what the city's doing. I have a feeling they're going to lose. I don't know. Do you remember 30 years ago when the city passed an ordinance about signs, bright and electric signs and so forth, and signs on the edge of the
billboards
property? Yeah, I worked on that case, and the city lost, even though I thought it was a good law, but they don't have the authority to do it. Now, the laws may have changed in 30 years. I haven't been doing that kind of law, but there's a good chance they'll lose, although I think it's a great idea. And maybe if enough cities pass laws like this, the state will finally pass one.
All right, Cheryl, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your expertise and knowledge. All right, let's go. We have a call now from actually City Councilman Diego Bernal. Councilman Bernal, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me what's happening. I know that you were the person that fathered this ordinance and shepherded it through the city council, trying to get payday lenders to act more responsibly. Are you satisfied with the results?
I'm satisfied with the results so far. I think that there's a lot more to be done, especially on the enforcement side. But as you can imagine, because of the legal landscape, we have to tread very carefully. But that doesn't mean that we're not treading at all. I also, in some ways, appreciate your clarification with the last caller, and that is that if the city had no authority to do that, the legislators in Austin would not feel compelled to create a law that says the state has the primary authority over the issue. And I think in some ways that effort reveals that while the state can set a baseline set of laws, the city and other cities certainly have the authority and the ability to fill in the gaps, and that's what I think ours does.
So we passed an ordinance. It's been 10 months. We've got some shops that don't want to comply. Things like a Power Finance, I think, is one of them, which is actually owned by a state representative, Gary Elkins, a Republican from Houston. So obviously you're against some high-powered figures here.
Sure. Well, what's new about that?
Well, I mean,
that certainly defined my time in council pretty easily. This is what I'll say about that. And I was talking to one of your producers about this earlier in the day. What's interesting about payday lending is that there is no constituency from any of these elected folks that believe in the purpose or the message of payday lending. Unlike, let's say, other more controversial subjects like guns or abortion or prayer in school. Everyone has some constituents that are for or against any regulation associated with those. There's not a constituency from any of these folks that is pro-payday loan, pro-payday lender, pro-predatory lending. What you're seeing here is you're seeing a lobby that is so large and so wealthy and so powerful that they essentially have bought off elected folks to do something that's in no interest of any of their constituents, but is exclusively in the interest of a special interest group.
Right. So that's interesting that, you know, this is really about money. These people, these organizations,
literally it's about money.
The payday lender companies are making a lot of money, and they are using it to hire high-powered lobbyists. But you really don't need a lobbyist when you have a state representative like Elkins, who is actually an owner of a payday lending company. It's how do you fight that?
Well, I mean, I think that, first of all, I do think that if you look at their spending on lobbyists, you know, they spend an extraordinary amount, and they wield a lot of power. However, what's happening is, and San Antonio is certainly part of it, is there's a growing choir of cities around the state that are saying, we've had enough of this. Now, San Antonio passed the most aggressive ordinance because it certainly modeled what was done in other cities, but we added more elements with regard to people who don't speak English and the kind of materials that the lenders have to have on file in other languages. I know Houston is teeing that up right now. I think at a certain point we're going to hit a critical mass of these ordinances, and the public will become so in tune with the issue that often will have no choice but to acquiesce. We got closer than we've ever gotten before in the last legislative session, and I believe in the upcoming one or the one right after that we will get over the top. Until then, we have to continue not only to pass ones like San Antonio's, but also our responsibility as a city is to very aggressively find our legal footing and go after the violators.
All right. So, Councilman Bernal, you mentioned Houston and their efforts to start looking at an ordinance along these lines. Let me just ask you, because yesterday on our yesterday program, we were talking about a Houston ordinance where they adopted one last week that was going to the city was going to fight wage theft. And the city was not going to work with any company that had been convicted of a wage theft type instance, and that they would work again to raise awareness of wage theft. Is that something that you think the San Antonio City Council would take a look at?
I mean, I think so. I think we have to see really how large a problem it is, and we also have to determine whether or not the wage theft is the act of, let's say, a rogue manager or a rogue employee versus having a policy and practice of wage theft. I do know, for example, in the community of day laborers, that wage theft is a tremendous problem, but we have some good nonprofits that are working on the issue. Whether or not there needs to be an ordinance beyond what we already have on the books with regards to theft and wage theft remains to be seen. So I'm interested, but I don't know enough about the issue here to decide one way or the other.
Okay, now back on the payday loan situation, we know that there have been some local nonprofits who are trying to organize and create a loan system so that people in San Antonio wouldn't be compelled, like they had no choice. They had to go to a commercial payday lender, but if they could go to a nonprofit and get an emergency loan, that how are we doing in that area?
I think we're doing well. These are not very easy things to set up, and as you can imagine, they're very complicated. Both in terms of raising capital and having a corpus, but also just the logistics of it. There's two models, essentially. One is a storefront model where people can go to a physical location and interact with it the same way they would a payday lending office. And the other is an employment-based program where your employer would be able to offer you a much lower interest rate loan and then very slowly, in a very gentle way, garnish your wages moving forward until the loan is repaid, and then you start over again. I like both of them very much. One is being led by Axion Texas, and the other is a collection of churches, a faith-based approach. And I know the churches have interest both in the physical location and also one that kind of moves from church to church so that a congregation would say, look, this Sunday we've got a representative from X, Y, and Z. They're going to talk to you about this service that we provide. I think both or all three take a while to get started, but they're actively pursuing it. I'm I've been involved in some of the update meetings, and I'm very excited about it. I think in the next 6 weeks, I mean 6 months to a year, you may see all three. I think in the next 2 or 3 months, you'd see Acción Texas getting theirs off the ground.
All right, that sounds exciting, that people creating an alternative to the commercial payday lender outfits that we know have predatory practices that are very difficult for hardworking folks to get out from under. Councilman Bernal, thank you for calling in and sharing, giving us an update on what's happening with the payday lending situation. And also Patrick Danner from the San Antonio Express News, thank you for giving us your expertise. You've been covering the story very well. And this is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flev is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.